This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hey, this is Jess Mowboy, proud to be heard on the beautiful Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. I'm Chris.
I'm Gordon.
And I must be Bill, because I'm the only other guy here.
Yeah. Well, that's true too, yes.
It's lovely to be with you again.
Yes, don't the weeks fly by, though?
Oh, in some ways the weeks do fly by, but in other ways, things stand still.
I think when you're a child, things go a lot slower than what they are when you become an adult, because the months just absolutely fly by.
As you would remember, the time it took between Christmases was
years and years when you were young.
Now it's, oh my God, it's back again.
And it's only a few weeks to go, which makes it even worse.
Yes, I've noticed that the shops are wearing all the Christmas decorations and Christmas produce well and truly in the shops.
I was listening to the ABC radio this morning, and they were talking, and he said, "I'm going to be the first in. I'm going to do this first here on the ABC." And he played a Christmas carol this morning at 4:30 this morning, and I thought, "Oh, you fool!"
Well, in honour of that, we can be the first program on Joy to have some Christmas poetry.
All right.
Yep. The night before Christmas and on through the flat, not a creature was moving, not even a rat.
Let's hope that's not your part, because that's a new word for flat.
My rats move.
Oh, thank you indeed.
But it seems to be a slow time of the year at the moment, doesn't it? We're between everything happening. There seems to be a hiatus or something.
We're in a Melbourne Cup hangover.
There is that, that's for sure.
Not that any of us went.
But then the American politics have actually frozen us. We're rooted to the soil.
Well, we've not heard anything else happening in the world apart from the American politics.
Oh, no, but there's been the British politics as well. And things are actually in this state of flux. And nothing positive is happening. Everybody's holding their breath or has been.
I'm waiting to buy shares in Mexican fence companies. Because I reckon that's going to go through the roof.
I think we can also go with orange face paint and a little bit of blonde.
Oh, I don't think that'll catch on, unless he makes it mandatory.
And just think of what's happening or not happening in Canberra. I mean, poor old Joko Widodo from Indonesia was due to come, and everybody thought, the politicians thought, wow, wacko, we've got some free time. We don't have to. But now he's not coming, and so the politicians have got front up and be in the house.
But that's another religious thing, isn't it, what happened in Indonesia with the Catholic governor supposedly saying something against the Quran, and all these people come out and start going bonkers. This is where I was listening and I think, oh, religion.
Yeah.
You know, it causes all these foments and torments and everything that's going on in the world.
Well, in our community, we've been hoping that there would be positive resolution one way or the other with marriage equality. But because things are stuck in the House and they're not going to get through the Senate, it's a dead-end street for that particular line of attack.
Yeah, but sort of going on the things that people have said would happen, I don't think that's going to get through the Senate anyhow, the equal marriage bill. I don't think that will get through. And which is terrible, because I always think, why should the rest of Australia tell me how I have to live my life? Why should it? They don't know me, but why should they tell me how I can live?
That's the argument. And I think in lots of ways it's good that the plebiscite looks like falling over, even if we've got a marking time, there you go, for another few months.
My point is that they didn't ask us when they changed the Marriage Act to exclude same-sex couples.
No.
So why don't they just do their job now as elected?
But certainly things have changed in the world regarding identification of your sexuality or your gender. And we'll be discussing that a little bit later in our program today about the fact that, well, Joy has changed from being just gay and lesbian to GLBTIQ. Yeah, radio station. There's because our concept of sexuality has moved from just being the binary through to multifaceted.
Well, this is what had to happen, of course. But there was something on the news the other day that there's one other place has come through with equal marriage, and I can't remember where it was. It was a little place that you wouldn't have thought.
A little country, and bang, they did
and
it.
They've done it, yes. They just
Liechtenstein.
Yeah, well, somewhere.
I don't know if that's it.
You'd like saying it, do you? But I actually can't remember where it was, but it was just a small little country. They said, righto, everything's fine. It's going to be equal marriage for everybody.
If the sky fell, it wouldn't be a lot of sky.
Yes.
But it's a small country.
Oh, don't talk about sky falling. Didn't you read that in the paper this morning?
What did the sky fall?
That sky actually falling. The sky is actually getting lower. The stratosphere is gradually getting in the atmosphere. Yeah, and the scientists were actually saying that this is actually happening because of the pollution and all the rest of it.
Well, that's probably good for skydivers. They won't have to go as high.
No, that's true too, yeah.
Oh, and you saw that piece of a film of the man jumping out of the plane with no parachute and no
clue.
Did you? Well, he hoped he was mad.
But he had to land on a postage stamp. And he's got no wings. He's not in a flying suit. So I don't know how precisely they dropped him, but he had to hit something the size. Literally a net.
Didn't see about that. What happened?
Did we see the jump, but we didn't see the land? So I wonder if...
I saw the land.
Did you?
In the net.
Right. And there was a net.
It's a special net. It's actually fishing net.
Yeah.
Because they started off with some nylon netting.
That's true.
And they dropped a dummy from a plane and it broke the netting, and they thought that's not good, and they went to Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas because they do a whole show with netting. They actually bounce off one of their shows, and they put them onto this Japanese fishing net company.
I didn't see that. That was on Sunday night. Oh, right. No, well, I missed that.
I wonder why they named that show Sunday
Night.
Yes,
possibly. Yeah,
probably because it was on Sunday night. Well,
anyway, our show, Been There, Done That, is about gay history, where we can find things that are appropriate. Sometimes we include, however, anniversaries of events that feature in our lives at the moment. And today we'll be talking about some musicians that are of our family or illustrating aspects of our wider community. We'll be talking about Remembrance Day, the 11th of November, and we'll be you'll have a little interview with a local artiste.
I did too, true, and I think I haven't heard the results of it yet, but I know that we laughed.
Well, you were there at the time.
I was there at the time, and we were both laughing a lot. Yes.
Well, thanks for the warning, because Ellen DeGeneres sells water to her studio audience, and there's a label on it that says Ellen DeGeneres water, it tastes funny.
Oh, okay.
So you've got to watch these comedians.
Little George Michael and his friends, way back in the early 80s, I believe it would have been, had a little song called Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. I know you might be listening late at night, but okay, stay awake for our show,
please. Well, they've been woken up, haven't they?
They have. You're on Joy.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Lovely to have your company.
And we have an email address.
We do.
And we invite comment from our listenage, from our audience.
Audience, yes. Not just the one. Not
just one at a time.
One at a time.
Don't crowd us.
Been there at joy.org.au.
That's us. Feel free to write. Tell us how good we are.
Oh, no,
don't invite.
Yes, don't invite.
Don't invite honesty.
We've just heard the music from Wham, George Michael and his little friend. And
Andrew Ridgeway or something.
Could be, yes. I think you're right. You were saying that to your eyes, back in the 80s, these guys were gay.
Oh, my gaydar went right off the scale.
I think everybody else's did as well.
It was the film clip that did it.
Yeah, but it wasn't
And the
George
song
Michael.
Was pretty camp.
Yeah.
And George, he was pretty, I don't think he was my type.
wasn't he?
No.
But was he out at that stage?
No, he didn't come out till decades
later than that, much later than Wham.
Probably after he got caught
doing something wrong. Doing
outside.
Outside, yes.
Oh, so people have their identity hidden under a bushel, or but some people also been in the headlines well and truly for their identity for a long time. But some, and we celebrate their lives by either recognizing their birthday or when they died. Around about this time, we've got someone who's part of the broader community, a person who had a birthday on the 14th, or has a birthday, 14th of the 11th, 1939, mm-hmm. Was born Walter Carlos. But Walter Carlos eventually discovered that he, the body that he was in was the wrong body.
Yes.
And he had steps. He just...
Changed. That's right.
He said, sorry.
Wrong body.
Here we go. And from now on, you can call me Wendy Carlos.
Mm. And that's a strange name to call yourself, Wendy, because that was never a name until Peter Pan.
Really?
Yeah, he invented that name. Wendy in Peter Pan was invented by J.M. Barrie. There was never a Wendy before.
Wow.
So if you know anybody that's Wendy, they've been named after the Wendy in Peter Pan.
Oh, right. Okay, then. Well,
there was Peter Pan, wasn't she? Never grew up.
Mm. What was Walter Carlos's claim to fame? Well, he, in fact, was part of the early movement of synthesizers, those musical devices that we've probably all got a keyboard at home or know a keyboard, and you can whack the rhythm in, you can whack in your various instruments and play on the single keyboard.
Would that be sort of the same as you get on computers these days, where you can play music on computers?
Exactly.
Yeah, because on mine I've got something that you can compose music on.
Mm.
I haven't tried.
But in fact, way back when, back in, I would say the 50s, there was the first tentative movements of trying to get automated music, as this would be. It was not computer generated at that stage. It was
electronic, wasn't it?
It was by valves. Which are hot tubed devices which transformed the shape and wave of frequencies, power frequencies. Oh, this is hard to describe.
I think we've reached Chris's level of technology. Valves were basically just amplifiers, they're vacuum tubes.
Yeah.
They had a beautiful orange glow, and they warmed the room on those hot summer nights.
Thank you.
And
Thank
you could fix them by just picking up the ones that didn't glow anymore.
Yeah.
But what they would do is oscillate, get what we call feedback.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And people learnt to control that.
Yeah.
Now, one of the first such products was used for a Hollywood movie that I think everybody has either seen or heard of, called Fantasia.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple of men in Palo Alto, California, by the name of Hewlett and Packard.
Oh, Mr. Hewlett and Mr. Packard
of the HP that we know today.
Yeah.
Invented this little oscillator machine. It just makes sort of whizzy bang noises.
Ooh.
And that was the first. It wasn't a synthesizer because it didn't try to be anything other than what it was.
Yeah.
But this Wendy friend of ours was using things like the Moog synthesizer.
Yeah.
Which were using that same sort of feedback mechanism that they could basically custom create the sounds.
Yeah.
And then imitate either piano or organ or strings and such things.
So initially, the keyboard was connected to a whole series of these amplifiers for one particular note. Each had their own note, and therefore, if you keyed it in like the old pianolas, that would play a piano. This was playing the electric amplifiers.
Yes.
And then with the advent of transistors,
things ran cooler.
They
didn't have to glow hot.
But did it make the sound any better?
Oh, there's an argument that'll go on for the ages.
Oh, right, because I know nothing about what you're talking about. I don't have any clue.
And valve amplifiers are what we call Class A. They show all of the wavelength. It's so like a sine wave, it would transmit it all. Transistors, because they couldn't handle the heat and the power that a valve could, had to be more efficient, so they would either do a proportion of the wave or half of the wave. So there'd be Class B or Class C amplifiers.
Wow.
And the purists would say, well, that just doesn't sound the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's like the elite who, when the CD came out, Yeah. Said, oh, that's not as good as vinyl, whereas it was actually twice as good.
Yeah, because you didn't have that scratch, did you?
Yeah, it didn't have all that familiar stuff.
Thanks, Phil. That's very confusing, but it actually does explain a few bits and pieces of what was happening, because it was a period of discovery in the world of electronics.
Oh, it was.
And music was now being produced on these new strange instruments. Of course, they're everywhere these days, because they've now, as you say, developed to be a total synthetic sound.
Yeah, they're now considered a musical instrument. There was quite an experimental phase where they were way overutilized, and people thought they had drum machines and they weren't drum machines. There was some horrible stuff out there.
And aren't we glad that they're actually in the 30 years have moved through that experimental stage, yes. And now we've got, almost reasonable facsimiles of the real thing.
Because the lady we're talking about, Wendy Carlos, she was one of the people that sort of instigated that sort of music into modern music. That was what she apparently did specialise in rather than much else.
One of the first LPs or products that she ever put out was Switched On Bach.
Yes, that's right.
And she played the keyboards with all the Bach music, but all these electric amplifiers were producing the notes in an electronic form, not like any other instrument where it sounded.
I think I have that CD record at home, actually.
And it was groundbreaking because it was something new.
And as a postscript, in this digital age of computer music, we could say her bark was worse than her bite.
Oh, God. Yes, righto, Phil, yeah. But it was interesting because I'm not a bark fan, but I didn't mind the switched on bark bit.
But the interesting thing is that during the adventures of Discovery, Wendy discovered herself.
That's
and
right,
yeah. Went away and came back as Wendy Carlos and continued a marvellous career. Now, there's someone else that did something much like that about the same time, and that was a fellow by the name of Wally Stott, an English band
leader,
orchestra conductor, composer, and he went away, came back as Angela Morley.
He was basically with the BBC, I have a feeling. I think he was the BBC orchestra leader or something or other, and did lots of stuff for TV themes and all that sort of thing. And I can always remember seeing Wally Stott up on the thing, but then he sort of disappeared, and now I know where he went. He was a quite interesting man, actually. He provided the music for Hancock's Half Hour.
Oh, yes, yeah, and some parts of the Goon Show as well, things like this. But as Wendy, he featured in the music with E.T., Schindler's List, and a few of those major films.
Cagney and Lacey, Wonder Woman, he did all the soundtracks for those, She did, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, round about this time, on the 6th of November 1883, that other famous music composer died, Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, born in 1840.
He had a terrible life.
He did, and
because he couldn't, homosexuality wasn't recognised in Russia at the time. He couldn't be out, could he? He was just sort of stuck there, but wrote great music. So probably.
Well, was it gay music?
Well, there was Sleeping Beauty. Probably wrote for you.
No. Of its time, the music was so different and marvellous and evocative.
Yes. Oh. Big words.
We've got a word a day calendar.
But didn't he commit suicide, I think, at the end of his life? I've got a vague feeling he...
Technical point.
What?
When else can you commit suicide?
Oh, at the end of your life, yeah. You
can't do it at the start of your life.
No, that's true too.
So there, but these people weren't able to live their life as...
They couldn't be open like we are.
As we know, as they knew their life to be. And some of them were able to change their circumstances with Wendy and with Angela. But poor old Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky crunched.
Yeah, but
times have changed.
Times certainly have, yes.
Anyway, Poor Om are here. They're going to sing a little song called Born This Way.
For men.
Oh, yes. Well, funny about that. You're on Joy.
It's for women too.
Oh. Joy program has a podcast and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
And we want to say thank you to Julia, our podcaster extraordinaire.
She's very good, isn't she?
She certainly is. Thank you, Julia, for all your work.
Yep, she sits there for 45 minutes imitating our voices as she re-records the whole show.
Yes, she needs to sometimes.
You're listening to Been There, Done That, Chris, Phil and Gordon.
That's us.
Now, sort of coming up, we will be having Remembrance Day, of course, which is the 11th of the 11th.
Yes.
Every day, 11th month of the 11th hour, yes.
However, that particular day, it seems to be rather important on the Australian calendar as well. A couple of other events. One from a long time ago was Mr. Ned Kelly's dying day.
That's right, yes. He was sentenced to death by Justice Barry.
And he was hung in the jail up there on
Russell Street Hill. The old Melbourne jail.
Or was he hanged?
He was hanged.
Exactly, he was hanged.
And it's still, to this day, people can't work out whether that was the right judgment to have on him. But there's a lot of people argue yes and a lot of people argue no.
Today, if you went around murdering policemen,
if you
wouldn't have many friends.
You wouldn't have that many friends. No, you wouldn't.
Someone who didn't have very many friends on this particular day, way back...
1972
was Mr. Gough Whitlam, the leader of the Labor Party at that stage. He was Prime Minister, and the Governor General called him to a meeting on the steps of Parliament House and said, sorry, boys, the game's over. You're over and done with. We're starting again.
And that could have been a nasty day in Australia's history, of course, you realise, because Gough Whitlam had control of the troops. He could still bring out the troops to stop anything happening and taken over the whole of Australia.
And the political situation that arose was actually the upper house denied functioning of the lower house of financial bills, and basically government screeched to a halt, stop. And so, therefore, the Governor-General had to unblock the processes and say, we will have a new election.
Yeah, but he was being advised privately by somebody that shouldn't have been having anything to do with it, of course. And, of course, I don't know why Sir John Kerr decided to do it, but because he was appointed by Whitlam as to be the Governor-General.
Yeah, but it's interesting that the actual letters that went from Australia to the Queen, who had to ratify that particular action of her Governor-General, they'll become public very soon. So it'll be interesting to see how it was presented to her, that she got the koala stamp out and banged it on the document.
I have a vague feeling I read something about that they will not be released. Yes, I have a vague recollection of reading something not so long ago about those letters could be made not publishable or something or other, because the Queen's letters don't get published anywhere. And
what was the biggest shock, that a Governor General could sack a government, or the Queen could actually sack a government? Because does she not have that power in the UK?
Look, I'm not sure, because it goes right back into they don't have a constitution in England. They just govern by whatever. And I think the Queen can only do what the Prime Minister tells them. It goes back to Charles I when the beheading, and then Charles II coming, and it goes right back to those times when the Parliament took over. And I don't think that the King or the King or the Queen can dismiss a government. It has to be done.
But in Australia's case, it's the Governor General who actually does that. It's not the regent in England, the Queen or the King. It is the Governor General. He takes on that power.
Yeah, but he has to inform the King or Queen what he is going to do, because he can't do it without her actual consent, because she's still the boss.
Yeah,
you know.
And judging by Mr. Whitlam's speech on the steps of Parliament on the day,
may we say God
he
save
and
the Queen.
Mr. Kerr are no longer friends.
No.
Yes.
Something else that occurs on the 11th of the 11th every year is the remembrance of armistice of the First World War back in 1918.
Yep.
The warring parties had been battling on for 4 years or so, and it got to a point where one side said, okay, we give in. We're not going to take this fight any further.
Well, the Germans had to give in because they were being overrun.
Yeah. And they didn't have any more resources available to themselves to keep the fight going. And so they had a bit of a powwow and they said, okay, and this was in the early morning of the 11th of the 11th in 1918 at 5 a.m. They said, okay, let's call it off as of 11 o'clock today.
Yes, that's right. The Germans had to acquiesce because they were looked like they were going to be overrun. And it was after that that the Treaty of Versailles in the Paris Peace Conference in 1919 that they decided what they were going to do with Europe. Mm-hmm. Because that was what the fight was all about, because what they were going to do with Europe between the Hungarians and the Germans and the English and the Russians and all the rest
of it. The map and everything.
Yeah, so they rewrote the map, yeah.
Mm. But, of course, a lot of Australians went to this particular war, as did a lot of South Africans and Canadians, under the banner of the Queen and Country.
That's right, and, of course, the British were in charge of the thing. We celebrate Gallipoli Day, which to me is was the greatest defeat of Australian soldiers ever on the face of this earth, basically. But we celebrate that, but we don't do anything about what happened on the Western Front with the Battle of the Somme.
No.
And those places where many more people were killed, many more of our soldiers lost their lives in the Battle of the Somme and in that area. And it was just, that should be remembered better than Gallipoli.
There was a whole generation almost that was completely wiped out of the Australian youth under a process called conscription, whereby you were all said, drop your tools from your day job, you're now in the army.
Did we get conscripted? Or because I thought Billy Hughes didn't get that passed. I think they only had to they had to be volunteers up to a point, I think. There's something that at the back of my mind about Billy Hughes that tried to get conscription in and they fought it and didn't get it.
I think you could be right. And Mannix, thank you.
Archbishop Mannix here stopped it in Victoria because he was totally against it. I think you find that there was no conscription in the First World War. They did in England. Everybody had to join up over there. Little places like Creswick lost just about every one of their young men to the First World War, you know, and you go around to all the little towns in Australia and you find war memorials with all the people that were killed in the battles of the First World War, and there's list after list after list.
Even Songs of the Era was sort of suggesting that this particular battle was honourable and paradise awaits for you at the other end. Or, well, not quite. They didn't promise that. But
there were never 76 virgins in their paradise, mate.
But they had one little song called Pack Up Troubles in Your Old Kit Bag.
And Smile, Smile, Smile. And while
some people knew the song better than others.
While with a Lucifer, light your fag, smile, smile, smile. That's the way. The Lucifer is a match, of course, which was named after the devil.
Yeah.
And a fag was?
And a fag was a cigarette.
Thank you.
Not one of us.
No. Smile, boys, that's the style. What's the use of worrying?
It never was worthwhile.
It never
so
was.
Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag. No. And a kit bag was a bag that they carried everything in.
And
that,
it was a roll, a, well, it was a swag
it was
almost.
It was a circular bag with a flap on the top with the eyelets around the top with a rope in it that you pull tight. And then that went into another loop at the bottom of the bag so you could put it over your shoulder and carry it.
Mm.
They weren't too worried about wrinkles in their clothing.
No.
I think they were very glad to get clean clothing at most times.
Yeah, the poor kids went off to war knowing not what was to happen.
It was a great adventure to most of them. They thought it was going to be a fun thing to do.
Well,
you know?
On the 11th of the 11th at 11 a.m., there will be 2 minutes of silence in memory of all those people who died in that and subsequent wars.
Now, Phil, you spent a lot of time in America. They have Remembrance Day as well on the 11th, don't they?
They have Veterans Day.
Veterans Day, is it right? Yeah.
Yes, they've got 2 days of remembrance. There's Memorial Day in March or earlier in the year.
All right.
And then on the 11th, Veterans Day.
That's Veterans Day on the 11th, like we have Remembrance Day, because they were there in the First World War as well. Mm.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Stay tuned. There's more. But here's Eliza Doodle. Pack up.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Been There, Done That. Joy 94.9 with Phil, Chris and Gordon.
Yes, that's us.
And we have members all over the world, and we even have some members in WA, because WA is Western Australia and Perth is part of the world.
Is it?
It's a nice part of the world.
I left that part of the world many years ago.
and one of our members over there writes the occasional thing for the gay newspaper, the freebie newspaper that is left around the bars and things.
That's called Out in Perth.
Out in Perth.
Mm. They nearly went broke, you know, and they did a what do they call that, crowdfunding?
Yeah.
And they got enough money to keep going. So now they bought it. The people that were working there bought it. So then that's how we've still got Out in Perth. And it's quite a good paper too. I read it a lot.
All right. And so they cover all the gay bits and pieces.
Oh, yeah.
And Graham, who did a review recently of your little guest, M. Rusciano.
M. Rusciano, yes.
Now, M, I don't know what that's for, whether it's
Emilia.
Emilia,
it
Thank
was.
Thank you very much. So Emilia is actually quite a figure in the Perth. She's been on Austereo at 92.9.
But she's actually a Victorian lady.
Is she?
Oh, God, yes. She was born out in Heidelberg, way past Heidelberg, through Heidelberg.
Wow.
I can never remember the name of the place, but it's in the book that she wrote, which I was talking to her about.
Yeah, but she was on 92.9's show for 4 years. Mm. She's been on the project. She goes to international comedy festivals, and she is actually a little bit of a bossy boot. She's a jumping bean. She is everything.
She's a very funny lady. Yes.
Graham reckons that in his interview, in his report in the newspaper, that she's bossy, bawdy, and brilliant. And you got a chance to speak to her.
Well,
Gordon.
She did, because she's written a book which is now out and published, and I saw it today in the bookshop.
And what's it called?
It's called Try Hard, The Memoirs of a Nerdy Overachiever.
All right, yeah, yes. Okay.
Yeah, and it gives her life story and about where she was born up and what she did and all the rest of it. And I read the book, and as you will hear in this recording we made of it, because I couldn't, Emma was going to come into the studio, but because they had that Melbourne Cup horse parade thing
through the streets,
couldn't get into it by taxi, so we had to do a phone interview. So, but she's a very, very funny lady, and I can have to tell you that this book, the book she wrote, is so funny I was crying with laughter.
Okay, let's hear it.
For the last 10 days, I've been reading one of the funniest books I have had the pleasure of picking up. To say I was crying with laughter would be an understatement. One lady on a tram wanted to know what the funny book was, and I showed her the cover and told her that it hadn't been released yet, but it would be on the 1st of November. She said she would look for it. On the phone, I have the author, M. Rusciano, to explain what provoked her to write her autobiography. M, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Oh, it's my favourite place to be. Thanks for having me, Gordon.
Oh, that's okay. Now, M, what provoked you to start writing your memoirs at such a young age? Normally people don't write that until they're in their dotage.
I know. I just had so many stories to tell, and I'd been on the road doing my stand-up and people seemed to like them, and it made other people feel normal about themselves. So I thought I should pen them and tell the story so far. I guess I feel like I'm kind of halfway in my life. So, yeah, and I love writing. I've always wanted to write a book. I when I was a little kid, I wanted to write stories and tales. So, I got offered a book deal from Simon & Schuster. They loved my writing, and I thought, all right, well, let's give this a crack and see what happens.
It's the easiest way, isn't it? Yeah. The book is very, very honest, very, very honest, the way you describe things that have been happening to you, of course, and you have had lots of ups and downs, and you write about them very, very well.
I think it's important to be honest, because there's less things to remember. I think if you start making up stories, then you're in trouble. But I found it very cathartic, Gordon, to write about the sad things, and I also write with the hope that it brings comfort to other people who have been through similar things, and you know, they know they're not alone. And you know, I'm an ambassador for Beyond Blue, and I'm a big spokesperson for mental health and being open and honest about it. So, yeah, I think it's only right that I honour that and write that way when I'm presenting something.
I always say that you have to tell the truth, because you have to remember everything you say if you tell lies.
Exactly.
And I'm not I don't have that much of a memory.
Me neither.
No. Now, you know what the part that I was laughing so much about on the tram was? It was when you were describing Miss Sheila Fancy Pants Dancing Academy.
Yes.
Because I went to a dancing academy when I was 14.
Oh, really?
I was
like that.
I just knew exactly what you were talking about, and that's what I was roaring with laughter. And I learnt dancing in Maddington in WA.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you know where Maddington is, don't you?
Yes, I do. Wow. That would have been
That was back in 1950.
1950? You know.
Yes, it really was.
Were you the only boy?
There was one other. Yes. Oh, it was hysterical. That's why I was crying with laughter, because everything you wrote about.
Yes, I don't think there's much difference between the teachers of the 50s and the 80s. Now you can't be as horrible. Now you can't say the things you really want to say, but oh my goodness, our teacher said whatever she wanted.
Yes, they were a bit like that, weren't they? They really felt that they had to get you to do the right thing, of course, yeah.
Yes, yes.
But that really had me going. And then the other one was when you were doing an aerobic, water aerobics instruction. Because I've been there as well.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yes. I just think they cheat. But I used to want to call them out, the old people. I say, you guys are not working hard.
I can tell you I wore Speedos, though, because I wasn't like the chap you were talking about that didn't wear Speedos, yes.
Oh, yes. Well, I did. Yeah, I worked at public swimming pools, and there was an unfortunate incident where an elderly gentleman had a part of his undercarriage had escaped, and he was unaware, and I was nominated to tell him.
Yes.
And God love him. It was lovely.
Yes.
It was I was 18 and not equipped, Gordon, to approach an elderly man and say, look, your nuts and crackers are hanging out, doll. Can you just pop them in?
Yeah. And he did very nicely, didn't he?
I did. And we're still, we were friends until the moment I left the pool. It was all in good fun.
Yes, but I was with the women with the big breasts, of course, that you write about as well. Yes, very funny. Yeah,
you all the skin. All the skin.
Yes.
And they love it because they're light as a feather.
Yes.
The only dime.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and there was another thing that the thing was also when you started off and you were talking about the Palais, I used to manage the Palais.
Did you?
Your book was resonating right through my whole life. You've got no idea.
Who thought you and I would have so many parallels?
Oh, God, yes. We do have them, dear,
I tell you. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the Palais. I'm doing a show there in December, and I think I'm the last person to play it until they shut it down.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they're really still.
Yeah, I worked down there for many years.
Goodness, yeah. Of course you did.
So there you go. So that's why I talk about
you've liked it.
That our parallels are very, very big. I crossed in lots of ways when I'm reading that book. Now, you'll be performing down there in December.
I am. December 15th, I'm playing the Palais. I'm touring the book like it's an album.
All right.
So, yeah, I'm doing a whole bunch of songs that kind of go along with the stories and talking about the things that didn't make the book. And
right.
I'm releasing a single in 2 weeks, so I'll be singing that song. And
okay.
I'm sure Joy will get a copy. And, yeah, so I'm kind of tying it all together. The song, the book, and the tour all go together in, like, a neat little three package. So
the only thing...
Everyone loves it. And
the only thing that I have never seen you perform, so I will try to get down to the Palais on the 15th of December.
Please just ask for a ticket. I'll put one aside for you, doll. It's nearly sold out, and you don't want to be up in the nosebleeds.
So I've worked up in the nosebleeds, dear.
Of course.
Yeah, all over the place in that joke. It was a great place to work. I really enjoyed myself and saw lots of shows and lots of people, of course, which was rather lovely.
You would have.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have. The names, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good. Oh, well, I'm glad you enjoyed the book. That often helps when you're interviewing someone that you've actually liked it.
Oh, yes. Look, I've interviewed a lot of authors, and I tell you what, I haven't laughed so much on public transport since I was about 15 catching a bus home to Armidale where I lived.
Oh.
And I was reading Cheaper by the Dozen. And I was crying with laughter.
Oh, gosh. Good company for me.
Oh, yes. I tell you what, I've never laughed so much. It's taken all those years to find a book that made me laugh like that.
Oh, good. And that's so kind of you. Thank you very much.
That's all right, Em. I've got to go because I've got another program coming up. We will be doing this broadcast next week because it's got to be set into Been There, Done That. And, of course, I've been there and done that, which is very appropriate for the book and the program. And then it'll be put on podcast so that people will be able to read the podcast and our podcast. Go right around the world. Now, the book is available as from the 1st of November?
It's out now. It came out last week.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's out. You can get it from all good bookstores and online at iBooks and Booktopia and Amazon. It's everywhere.
Oh, good. And all I can say is I wish you great luck with it because it's such a funny book and great luck with whatever you're doing. And I tell you what, the description of the birth of Marcella That was another one. And I thought, what you went through for that, I tell you what, yeah. If men had to give birth, abortion would be a fact, not something to be quibbled over. It would be on for sure. Oh, God, you're a very funny person, darling. And I'm so glad to have Mitchell. I would love to have had you in the studio, but it was just unfortunate we couldn't do that.
It did very hard today, yes. Yeah. Thank you, Gordon. Thanks so much.
Okay, doll. Talk to you later. Okay. Bye.
Joy 94.9.
Well, you were having a few chuckles there, Gordon.
Oh, yes, yes. It was a very funny interview, and it's a very funny book, too.
And she sounds a buzz of a lady. Yeah,
yes, yes. I would have loved to have had her in the studio, but unfortunately, she because of the horse parade, she couldn't get across the traffic. So, yeah, but a very funny lady. Yeah, and it's a really good book. Now, in the book, of course, she's got lots of photos in the book that has been published, because I was reading an unedited version, and it wasn't that. Didn't have the photos in it. So
oh, right.
You get the actual photos as well.
Good. Excellent. So all the swear words been taken out
as
well.
No, they're still in there. I'm sure they are. She drops a few of them too.
That's it for this week, gentlemen.
Is it all
And really? Lovely listener.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah.
And we'll be back next week as well with another program of history of people who've been in our lives, who've presented
stuff.
The LGBTIQ community.
So thanks for being with us today. We'll see you next time.
What are we going out with?
We'll be playing Give It All You've Got.
Well, we've done that today, I think.
I kept a bit for myself.
Terrific. Thanks, Anita. See you next time.
Bye, pal.
Bye-bye.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.